Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Dear Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, what you have said is all true. Only one who is favored by fortune attains love of Godhead. Purport. One who is actually very fortunate can begin Krishna consciousness as stated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Srila Rupa Goswami. Brahmanda Bhramite Kuna Bhagyavan Jeev Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bij. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Leela Chapter 19 Text 151. There are millions of living entities who have become conditioned by the laws of material nature, and they are wandering throughout the planetary systems of this universe in different bodily forms. Among them, one who is fortunate meets a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna and comes to understand the meaning of devotional service. By discharging devotional service under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master or acharya, he develops love of Godhead. One whose love of Godhead, Krishna Prema, is awakened and who thus becomes a devotee of the inconceivable Supreme Personality of Godhead is to be considered extremely fortunate. The Mayavadi sannyasis admitted this fact to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It is not easy for one to become a Krishna conscious person, but by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it can be possible, as will be proven in the course of this narration. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruh Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharane Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Tarine Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langhayate Girim Yat Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurun Dina Tarinam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Mahavadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gauratvishe Namaha Panchatatvatmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Svarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhaktashaktikam Aradhyo Bhagavan Vrajeshatanayas Taddhama Vrindavanam Ramya Kachidupasana Vrajavadhu Vargenaya Kalpita Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamamalam प्रेमा पुमर्थो महान् श्री चैतन्य महाप्रभोर्मतमिदं तत्रादरः न परः हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरि प्रिये जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद जय अद्वैत चंद्र जय गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण इन दिस सेक्शन ऑफ द आदि लीला ऑफ द चैतन्य चरितामृत श्रील कृष्णदास कविराज गोस्वामी इज समराइजिंग one of those epoch-making or iconic conversations that have happened in history. Generally, people speak of some iconic speeches made by famous personalities of the modern era, some king or some president or prime minister or some political leader made some very impressive speech, and they consider that iconic. But the conversations that took place between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and here between Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the sannyasis, the Mayavadi sannyasis at Kashi or Varanasi, are actually stuff of history, real history. In modern day parlance, we would call it game-changing talks. For Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, it was a game changer. He was playing the game of Mayavad, wanting to merge into the impersonal Brahman, considering that we are all the Supreme Lord. Similarly, the Mayavadi sannyasis were also under the grip of this illusion, that they were all the Supreme. We are all Supreme. It's only that we have forgotten. And as sannyasis who are following the Advaita path, the followers of Shankaracharya, the Mayavadi sannyasis felt it was their bounden duty to be very grave, to study the Vedanta, to perform austerities. And here was this sannyasi who also happened to be initiated in the Shankara Sampradaya by Keshav Bharati, so the Bharati sub-sampradaya of the Shankara Sampradaya. And instead of being grave and distant from the common mass of people, and instead of studying the Vedanta and performing austerities, here he was chanting and dancing with the hoi polloi. with a common mass of people becoming a sentimentalist. So they couldn't understand this. So they began to criticize Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And of course, information reached the ears of Mahaprabhu. Eventually, one of his devotees, who was also a Brahmana, he arranged this meeting between Mahaprabhu and the sannyasis led by Prakash Ananda Saraswati. And this will be discussed to some degree here and also later on in the Madhya Leela. So, having questioned Mahaprabhu about why he did what he did, and Mahaprabhu having briefly answered them here, the Mayavadi sannyasis then come to agree with Mahaprabhu's conclusions, and they understand that the love of God or Krishna Prema is the actual goal of life. Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Ki Jai, Shri Shri Sita Ram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai, Shri Shri Gaur Nitai Ki Jai. They accept that Krishna Prema, or love of Godhead, is the ultimate goal of life. And they also make a startling admission that this love of Godhead is attained by one who is favored by good fortune. Bhagya Udaya. Bhagya means fortune. Udaya means the rising. Now generally, it is only in the path of bhakti or the bhakti yoga process that we give so much importance to bhagya or fortune or mercy. In the other yogas, be it karma yoga and especially jnana yoga and ashtanga yoga, there is inordinate emphasis given to one's own prowess, be it one's prowess for performing physical austerities, be it one's prowess, intellectual prowess, by which one can speculate endlessly about the nature of the absolute truth, and so on. So the yogi who doesn't follow the path of bhakti, in other words, the other yogic processes, such a person, it is very difficult. Aruhya krichreena param padam tataha patantyatyo anadrita yushmadankrayaha. So for one who who has given up or who has disrespected yushmadankrayaha, your lotus feet, O Krishna, for such a person a fall down is guaranteed or is certain. So for one who doesn't depend on the path of mercy, which is the potency of the Supreme Lord, then such a person depends on his own minute, insignificant potency. So the bhakti yoga process is characterized by the practitioner's complete dependence on the mercy and the potency of the Supreme Lord and his representatives, the pure devotees. On the other hand, the practitioners of the other paths of yoga, they depend on their own prowess, on their own potency, which is necessarily very, very limited and insignificant. So therefore, the fact that these Mayavadi sannyasis are now accepting that it is good fortune or mercy that is a reason for success and attaining the highest process of life is very significant. And also the fact that they accept that the goal of life is Krishna Prema. Of course, here you may not have so many Mayavadis, and you people in England may not understand why such a big deal is made out of Mayavad and what it is and so on and so forth. But in India, of course, nowadays nobody really cares about any philosophy anyway. They just are into sense gratification and making money and becoming software engineers, and that's all that really people want nowadays. So really, even in India now, Mayavad is really something not so relevant, because As they say today, who cares? What is Mayavad? What is Bhakti? Who knows and who understands and who has that interest and the capacity to debate such things now? But there are some people who are for real. If you go to Banaras and you go to certain places in South India, these people are for real. What they come out from the pages of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, these Mayavadi sannyasis, they are there. Some examples are still there. So in any case, the important point that Mahaprabhu makes here is not that there is no place for one's personal effort in Krishna consciousness, lest we think that it's only mercy and therefore we can use that as a pretext to be idle and take it easy. That's not so. But the important point is that effort alone is not sufficient. One needs the mercy of the pure devotees and the Supreme Lord at every step. And especially even to come to the point of beginning to serve Krishna wholeheartedly, one needs mercy. That is the purport of Bhagyodaya. Prabhupada quotes the famous Brahmanda Brahmite Kono Bhagyavanji verse here in the purport to indicate that it is something very rare. Very, very few people in this universe actually have the fortune of coming to Krishna consciousness. And just imagine, all of us sitting here in this room are a few amongst those millions of fortunate souls. So, this fortune, what is it? That's the moot question. And the acharyas, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, for example, he has examined this issue of what this bhagya or what this fortune is. We often use words very lightly. We say luck. Luckily such a thing happened. It's just good luck. But there's a deep purport to this word good luck or good fortune or bhagya. So there are different kinds of bhagyas or different kinds of fortune, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, by which one comes across something good. Now the word good again is very relative. For a person who is involved in sense gratification, good means to have a lot of opulence and to have opportunities for sense gratification. It means that this person also has some good fortune, but that good fortune is on the material platform. This person has performed some material pious activities in the previous lives, which technically is called karmonmukhi sukriti. Karma unmukhi sukriti. Sukriti refers to pious activities or some activities that give you some credit. And karmonmukhi means those pious activities that give rise to material piety or opportunities for sense enjoyment. Mundane piety. So one cannot get bhakti by doing mundane piety. For example, feeding the poor, planting trees to give shade, and digging wells and so on and so forth. This will give us some opportunities for material comforts and luxuries in life, but not bhakti. Because bhakti is spiritual. And something spiritual can only come from something spiritual, not from anything material. Then what about merging into the impersonal Brahman? That also is a kind of fortune. But what kind of fortune is that? It's called jnanonmukhi sukriti. That piety which arises because of having associated with jnanis in the previous lives and having developed that kind of mindset or a mentality of wanting to merge into the impersonal Brahman. Because of that jnanonmukhi sukriti, one becomes inclined to the Mayavad philosophy naturally. And one seeks out the association of Mayavadis and then makes progress in that path. And then there is bhaktyonmukhi sukriti, which is that sukriti or that piety which is not mundane. But that piety which is attained by coming in contact with devotees, by knowingly or unknowingly performing some devotional service, and specifically some service to the Vaishnavas. So it is very, very important to serve devotees. So we see Vaishnavas may sometimes not accept service, but unknowingly, if somebody serves them even, that person who serves them gains tremendous benefit. And we see, therefore, that when devotees go out on the streets and people hear the sound of the holy name, or they receive some prasadam, or a devotee comes up and speaks pleasantly to them, and they feel, these Hare Krishnas are good people, a little sense of appreciation even, what to speak of service to the Vaishnavas, will also go a long way, because now the seed has been sown. And the person has now performed what is called Agyata Sukriti, which means unknowingly performed devotional piety. Now, when such devotional piety accumulates sufficiently, and this process may take sometimes many lives, then one will come to the point of actually voluntarily, enthusiastically, faithfully rendering devotional service. Everyone sitting in this room here has come to the point of developing strong faith. That's why we are all here. We have understood and appreciated that Krishna is a Supreme Personality of Godhead, and to attain love for Krishna is the supreme goal of life. Prema Pumartho Mahan. So how has that come about? In the Bhagavad Gita purports, in the 6th chapter, when Krishna speaks about the fate of the unsuccessful yogi, Prabhupada explains in the purport that no one can come to Krishna consciousness in this life without having had some connection to it in the previous life. And no one can come to Krishna consciousness in the previous life, that's something I'm adding, Prabhupada didn't say that. No one can come to Krishna consciousness in the previous life without having had some connection with it in the previous to previous life. And so on. And when did it begin? We don't know. Even Google doesn't know. One devotee was saying that his colleague at office told him that his little daughter came up to him and said, "Dad, you know, what does God look like?" The father is not a devotee or a spiritualist in any way. So he said, "Well, God doesn't look like anything. I mean, no one knows what God looks like. I mean, that's not a question that's asked." "No one knows?" The daughter asked him. He said, no one knows. Not even Google? G for Google and G for God. But actually, Google does know. Because if you Google Hare Krishna, you'll get everything about Krishna. So, where was I? Yes, the Bhakti on Mukhi Sukriti. So then, bhakti, the pious credits that one performs, they accumulate sufficiently. Krita Punya Punjaha. And it accumulates, and a point comes when that service to the Lord and the devotees that has been unknowingly or even involuntarily performed now becomes voluntarily performed. What is it that makes someone naturally faithful and someone naturally unfaithful? It is the presence or the lack of such devotional piety. There is a history. So no one has come to Krishna consciousness without having performed Krishna consciousness knowingly or unknowingly in the previous lives. So the process is very long. And we hope and pray and we should work towards the goal that this should be the last life. So we don't have to take birth again and continue the process. imperfectly. We would rather attain perfection in this life itself. So this is bhaktyonmukhi sukriti. This is how one comes to Krishna consciousness, and this is that bhagyodaya. Bhagya udaya, the rising of good fortune. Actually, there is much to be said on this topic, because in the Madhya Lila, 22nd chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mahaprabhu speaks at length about this process. He quotes from the prayers of Akrura, from the prayers of Muchukunda, and he adds his own comments to that. But we don't have so much time today, because it's also the disappearance day of Vakreshwar Pandit, a great associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and it also happens to be Hera Panchami. And I would like to speak about these two topics a bit, because they're also very important for us. But regarding Vakreshwar Pandit, yes, we can indeed connect up with the topic of the day, because Vakreshwar Pandit's history is very interesting. He was a great scholar of the Srimad Bhagavatam. He was also an ascetic by nature, a very austere right from his very childhood. Vakreshwar Pandit was a great devotee, a great associate of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. When Mahaprabhu was in Navadvip and he began his Sankirtan movement, Vakreshwar Pandit was one of the original associates. And when Mahaprabhu moved to Jagannath Puri after taking sannyas, Vakreshwar Pandit also accompanied him. Vakreshwar Pandit's famous disciple is the famous Gopal Guru Goswami, whose disciple was Dhyanachandra. So Dhyanachandra, who wrote his famous Dhyanachandra Paddhati, he has mentioned that Vakreshwar Pandit is none other than Tunga Vidya Sakhi, one of the Sakhis of Srimati Radharani, one among the eight Sakhis. Of course, elsewhere also in the Gaura Gano Desha Deepika, it is mentioned by Kavi Karnapur that he is Aniruddha of the Chaturvyuha, the four-handed forms of the Lord. And also that Shashi Rekha, one gopi, has entered into him. So these phenomena happen on the spiritual platform, multiple personalities. But in Gaur Leela, Vakreshwar Pandit was well known for his dancing during the Kirtan. At one time, Vrindavan Das Thakur says in the Chaitanya Bhagavat that he danced continuously for 72 hours in the Kirtan. And that's something. And he would do long hours of dancing on a regular basis. In fact, Mahaprabhu was extremely pleased with him. And he considered Vakreshwar Pandit as a very, very special devotee. At one time, when Vakreshwar Pandit came before Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu asked him, "What would you like?" He said, "Please give me 10,000 Gandharvas who can sing very beautifully your glories in your holy names, so that I can dance and dance and dance in the Kirtan." So this was what he wanted. He didn't ask for any iPads or any mobiles or anything. He asked for the opportunity to dance in Kirtan. And for that he needed singers. And the Gandharvas are known for their singing, beautiful singing. And then Mahaprabhu said, "Vakreshwar, you are like my wing. I wish I had another wing, so then I could fly." Now, it so happened, the potency of Vakreshwar Pandit can be understood by one pastime that happened. There was a Brahmana, a Smartha Brahmana, called Devananda Pandit. He was also a great scholar of the Srimad Bhagavatam and a very austere person, not at all interested in sense gratification. Lived a very pious life, never committed any sinful activities. But, unfortunately, He didn't have faith in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was not a devotee of Krishna. So, even though he would speak extensively on the Srimad Bhagavatam every day, and he had a fair amount of followers, Mahaprabhu was not pleased with him. One day, Srivas Thakur was passing by the place where Devananda Pandit was speaking to his students on the Srimad Bhagavatam. Having heard the verses of the Srimad Bhagavatam being recited, Srivas Thakur was immediately drawn into the assembly, and he entered and sat down and began to hear the glorification of the Srimad Bhagavatam. At one point, Srivas Thakur became overwhelmed when he heard certain passages being recited, and he went into an ecstatic trance of Krishna Prema. And all the symptoms of love of God had began to manifest. And he began rolling on the floor and shouting for Krishna. And the other students, who like their teacher were not devotees of Krishna, thought Srivas Thakur to be a great disturbance. So they lifted him bodily, physically lifted him, and took him outside the room and placed him there. Srivas Thakur meanwhile came to external consciousness and sadly realized that he had been kept outside. And then with sadness in his heart, he went back, but he was thinking of Krishna all the while. Now this was a great offense to a great devotee like Srivas Pandit. Now, Mahaprabhu understood this. One time when he was passing by Devananda Pandit's house, he began to loudly speak. And he said, there are those people who dare to speak of the Srimad Bhagavatam even though they don't understand what the Srimad Bhagavatam means. They dare to comment on the Srimad Bhagavatam as if it was some mundane book, or it was some book that would take one to the impersonal Brahman. They do not know that the Srimad Bhagavatam's only purpose is pure devotional service to Krishna. Anyone who speaks about the Srimad Bhagavatam without speaking about the conclusion of devotional service is an imposter, is actually a fraud. So Mahaprabhu was furious with Devananda Pandit because of Devananda Pandit's having offended Srivas Thakur. Now, the offense of Devananda Pandit was not an offense of commission. It was an offense of omission. It was Devananda Pandit's students who actually physically offended and verbally offended Srivas Thakur, but Devananda Pandit's fault was that he kept quiet. He didn't oppose. He didn't protest. He didn't stop his students from offending Srivas Thakur. So an act of omission may also sometimes be an offense. And Mahaprabhu took it so seriously that he severely admonished Devananda Pandit. And then he said, please understand that if someone drinks ambrosia or nectar through his mouth, or I beg your pardon, drinks poison through his mouth, if he wants to get rid of the effects of that poison, he must also drink nectar through that very same mouth, so that the effects of the poison may be neutralized. This Brahmana has drunk poison, the deadliest of poison, because he has offended the great devotee Srivas Thakur. So therefore, Devananda Pandit, if you want to get rid of the pernicious effects of your grave Vaishnava Parad, you must with the same mouth now glorify Srivas Thakur and the great Vaishnavas and Krishna. So the only way to counter the bad effects of Vaishnava Aparad is to glorify the devotees and to serve them, to glorify Krishna and the devotees. This is also how Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments about this. So, Devananda Pandit was feeling terrible. He wasn't a bad person, actually. It's just that he didn't know the devotional service was the conclusion. Otherwise, he was very pious and he was humble. So he felt very bad about the whole thing. One day, it so happened that Vakreshwar Pandit, about whom we have just been speaking and whose disappearance day anniversary is today, came there to Kulia, where Devananda Pandit stayed. Kulia is the present-day town of Navadvip. It is across the river from where present-day Mayapur is. And Vakreshwar Pandit, as was well known, was a famous dancer in the Kirtan. So he danced in Kirtan for 6 consecutive hours. And Devananda Pandit was awestruck to see his devotion and his dancing and his Kirtan. And he was induced to come forward and render some personal physical service for this great soul. And because Vakreshwar Pandit was dancing and lots of people were gathering around him to see him, it was causing an interference in the dancing. So Devananda Pandit came around and with his own arms he kept the crowd away so that Vakreshwar Pandit could dance properly. And he was controlling the crowd like this for the entire duration, 6 hours of the Kirtan. Devananda Pandit was there personally serving Vakreshwar Pandit in this way. And when finally Vakreshwar Pandit concluded his dancing and sat down, Devananda Pandit went to him and offered him prostrated obeisances and begged for his mercy, because he realized that Vakreshwar Pandit is a great soul, a great devotee of the Lord. Vakreshwar Pandit was very pleased to see the service that had been offered to him by Devananda Pandit, and also the humility that he exhibited despite being a big scholar of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And he said, Krishna Prema Hauk Tumar. He said, may you develop Krishna Prema. That's the ultimate blessing we would like to have from in life. What bigger bhagyodaya or rising of good fortune can there be except receiving the blessing, may you receive Krishna Prema. So Mahaprabhu also would bless like this, Krishna Matirastu, Krishna Matir Rahu. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita we see these on different occasions. May you develop Krishna consciousness. Krishna Mati, Mati means intelligence or consciousness. So may you become Krishna conscious. That's the ultimate blessing we can ask for. So anyway, he got this ultimate blessing from Vakreshwar Pandit. And you see, the Supreme Lord, ontologically speaking, is independent, but in rasa, he is dependent. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the Supreme Lord's mercy flows wherever the mercy of his devotees flow. What to speak of a pure devotee, even if a Madhyama Adhikari, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, decides to give mercy to a particular soul or individual, Krishna's mercy is obliged to follow there. So this is the potency of devotional service, that Krishna becomes so obliged to that service of the devotee that Krishna's mercy follows the mercy or the desire of that devotee. So because Vakreshwar Pandit had blessed Devananda Pandit with Krishna Prema, how could Mahaprabhu not give it now? You see, herein we have a phenomenon that's a little, shall we say, unique. Generally we understand that if we perform Vaishnava Aparadha, then the only remedy for that is to go and beg forgiveness from that very devotee whom we have offended and to glorify and praise that devotee. And there is no other recourse. And we find this in the famous case of Durvasa Muni offending Maharaj Ambarish. where even the Lord threw up his hands and said, I'm sorry, I can't help you. Even I don't have the power to rectify your offense. You have to go back to the very person you offended. And then Durvasa Muni actually had to go back to Ambarish Maharaj, and then the offense was rectified. So generally, that is the process. But here, we find something different. That Vakreshwar Devananda Pandit served Vakreshwar Pandit, and his offense to Shivas Thakur was removed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Even though there is no statement in the Bhagavad that prior to this incident, Devananda Pandit had actually gone and begged forgiveness from Shivas Thakur personally, the person whom he had offended. So, what was the saving grace? The point was that even though Devananda Pandit was unacquainted with devotional service or with the true purport of the Srimad Bhagavatam, he was humble. And that's something very rare. For a scholar to be humble is something very difficult. And it's rare. So he was humble, and because of that humility, he served Vakreshwar Pandit in a very menial way, without duplicity. And this mentality of Devananda Pandit attracted Vakreshwar Pandit, and therefore it drew the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who also gave his mercy to Devananda Pandit. So therefore we come back to the point of discussion here, Bhagyodaya. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur says that good fortune really begins when one begins to serve the devotees, especially the pure devotee of the Lord. Yesterday we were hearing such wonderful reminiscences or memories of the old days from Mandakini Mataji and Manjulali Mataji. And the whole sum and substance was, because the devotees in the early days served Prabhupada, sometimes even very menial service. And in some cases, perhaps they didn't get to directly serve Prabhupada, but they served those who were serving Prabhupada. They got so much mercy. And therefore, the Krishna conscious sentiment arose very strongly. The Bhagyodaya came because many, many devotees served Srila Prabhupada. We read also the famous incident of how when Srila Prabhupada was once at 22nd Avenue and one drunk came in and he staggered in, and when Prabhupada was speaking, and he came up and he offered him some toilet paper. Yes, and everybody was aghast and thinking, you know, it's a big offense that he's coming up. But he wasn't malicious. He just wanted to offer some little service to Prabhupada, and it was some practical service he did. He came up and gave, and Prabhupada said, no, let him be, he's doing some service. Of course, we don't know whether that person actually later became a devotee or not, but one day he will, for sure. The seed has been sown. He served Srila Prabhupada, even one time, that's enough. And that will lead him to Krishna consciousness eventually, even if he hasn't become a devotee yet. So this is the Bhagyodaya. The service to the Vaishnavas is actually the root cause of devotion, because the Vaishnavas are the repositories or the treasure houses of devotion. And we can get devotion only from where it exists, not from anywhere else. And of course, in the assembly of devotees, if we start making judgments that, well, I'll only serve this one, but I won't serve that one, then it's difficult. It takes one to know one. How are we going to make judgments about this one's a pure devotee, therefore I will serve this one. So therefore, it's always a better policy to serve all the Vaishnavas. And therefore, one who humbles himself or herself in this way, by developing the spirit of serving devotees, one is guaranteed success. This is real Bhagyodaya. And this is what Srila Prabhupada has given us and the world. Prabhupada said one time that the purpose for his founding ISKCON was to give the association of devotees to the people of the world. Because this association is the most crucial thing. And when we get association, what do we do with it? It's a precious jewel. How do we handle this jewel? We handle the association with great care. We don't offend devotees. We hear and we serve and chant in the association of devotees. And therefore there will be no limit to the awakening of our good fortune of Krishna consciousness. And we see that in the example of Devananda Pandit having served Vakreshwar Pandit. So this is the anniversary day of his disappearance from this world. We can pray at his lotus feet that just as he blessed Devananda Pandit, Krishna Prem Hok, may you develop Krishna Prem that he may also bless us in the same way. Today also is the festival of Hera Panchami. It's been elaborately described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, but I will just describe it very briefly. And one section of it is very, very esoteric, and therefore we will not even touch upon that topic. We'll talk about things that we can all understand and relate to. The Hera Panchami festival is a very wonderful festival that takes place in Jagannath Puri. The word Panchami refers to the fifth day of the moon, the waxing moon now, and it's the month of Ashadh. The second day of the waxing fortnight of the moon in the month of Ashadh is the famous Rath Yatra. And the fifth day, the fifth tithi, is when Hera Panchami takes place. So the word Panchami refers to the fifth day of the moon. Hera means to see. And what is the purport of this word? Prabhupada explains that it means that the goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, goes to the Gundicha temple to see her lord, Lord Jagannath. Now, Lakshmi Devi also resides in the Jagannath temple, although you don't see her on the same altar. She is elsewhere. On the altar of the Jagannath temple, you have Jagannath, Baladev, Subhadra, and of course, Sudarshan. Now, the Jagannath temple in Puri represents Dwarka, where the Lord is worshipped with all kinds of opulence, 56 times offering, grand offerings. And the Gundicha temple, which is a couple of miles away from the Jagannath temple, represents Vrindavan. So the famous Rath Yatra festival involves pulling the carts of Lord Jagannath, Lord Balabhadra and Lady Subhadra from the Jagannath temple to the Gundicha temple. And as we all know, it represents the Brajabasis pulling Krishna back from Kurukshetra to Vrindavan. When the residents came of Vrindavan came to Kurukshetra for the solar eclipse and they saw Krishna dressed as a prince or a king with all the royal regalia and paraphernalia, they didn't like it. They were happy to see Krishna, but they actually wanted to see Krishna as a cowherd boy of Vrindavan, as they had been accustomed to seeing him. So they wanted to love Krishna in that mood. So the Rath Yatra represents this occasion or this act of the Vrajabasis pulling Krishna back to Vrindavan. So Gundicha temple is Vrindavan, and Kaviraj Goswami explains that on the pretext of going out on the Rath Yatra or going for a stroll, Jagannath actually wants to go to Vrindavan because he's in Dwarka enjoying royal opulence and royal service, Now he wants to go to be with Srimati Radharani and the gopis in Vrindavan. And when he goes to Gundicha temple, he stays there. And as is often the case, he promises his wife he'll be back in a short while, but he doesn't come back in a short while. He takes his time. And as it also happens again, the wife is then very upset. And she decides to teach the husband a lesson. And what a lesson she teaches. Lakshmi Devi, there can be no anger like the one displayed by Lakshmi Devi. Now Jagannath promises her, I'll be back tomorrow. I'm just going for the Rath Yatra and I'll be back. And then Lakshmi Devi says, all right, okay. And the next day, well, he doesn't come back. 2 days, still no sign of the Lord. Third day, no sign of Lord Jagannath. And now Lakshmi Devi gets impatient and annoyed. Now I have to teach my husband a lesson. How dare he not come back? So then she sets out. She gives instructions to her maid servants. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is witnessing this whole festival along with his associates at the Jagannath temple. Lakshmi Devi comes out in grand procession, and her maid servants in the hundreds come out, all dressed in gorgeous clothing and ornaments and everything. And there's musical instruments playing and bands and all sorts of things happening there. And then the servants of Jagannath are arrested by the maid servants of Lakshmi Devi. And they're brought down and insulted, and all sorts of bad words are spoken to them. They're insulted and humiliated. What kind of master do you have? And then they're beaten with sticks. And they have to bear it all. And then Lakshmi Devi is sitting there, royal style, looking, overseeing this whole operation, where the servants of her husband are being completely humiliated. And the servants then beg forgiveness. Yes, yes, we will go and get a master. So why have you, what kind of master do you have? Bring him back immediately. He has left the opulence of the goddess of fortune to go there for a few twigs and of Vrindavan. Bring him back immediately. So the servants rush there to Gundicha temple, you know, and they're terrified. And they go back with all this news, with their clothes torn and their bones, the bruises on their body and everything. Literally, the servants actually go like that. And meanwhile, Lakshmi Devi's associates now come there, because he still hasn't come. And then the maid servants of Lakshmi Devi, they beat the stick, they break a portion of the cart of Lord Jagannath. And again, they beat his servants. And then finally Jagannath comes forward and says, yes, yes, I will come, I will come. And then he still doesn't come actually. He takes another 4 days to come. But Lakshmi Devi has made her point. And then she gives a piece of her mind to her husband. And it's a big piece. And then Jagannath has to take it. Discretion is the better part of valor. He keeps quiet, doesn't say anything. And in the meanwhile, that's Hera Panchami that happens today, on this day. And another 4 days, 3 or 4 days, depending on how the tithi synchronizes with the modern calendar, then the Ulta Rath takes place, when Jagannath returns finally to the Jagannath temple. And then, of course, there are other festivals that take place there also. So a wonderful conversation took place between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his devotees. Narad Muni has appeared as Shivas Thakur, and Shivas Thakur was in the mood of Narada. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu teased him also. And then Shivas Thakur, wanting to understand the opulence of Vrindavan, he began to tease Swarup Damodar. He said, Swarup Damodar, just look at this. Look at the opulence of my goddess here. Just see the opulence of Vaikuntha. And what about your Vrindavan? Just a few twigs and leaves and bushes and trees and plants, and that's all there is. and just see, your master, your Krishna, has left my goddess of fortune here and gone to Vrindavan. So why so? So then Mahaprabhu smiles and says, the influence of the opulence of Vaikuntha has preoccupied your mind, Shivas. You're now in your mood of Narad Muni. And the Shiva, Swarup Damodar, what does he know? He is just a pure devotee. A simple-hearted, pure devotee of Vrindavan. What does he care about opulences? And then Swarup Damodar now was becoming annoyed. He said, this can't go unanswered. So he started explaining the glories of Vrindavan. And he said, Shivas Thakur, I think you should know a few things about Vrindavan. You know, Vrindavan is the sum total of all opulence. All the opulence that may exist in Dwarka and Vaikuntha and Mathura and anywhere else is just an atomic fraction of the opulence that you can find in Vrindavan. Don't you know that every tree is a wish-fulfilling tree in Vrindavan? And every the Vrindavan is constituted of Chintamani. Everything is Chintamani gems here. Even the ankle bells of the gopis are made of Chintamani jewels. Everything is touchstone here. Every drop of water is nectar. Every step of the residence of Vrindavan is like a dance. Every word is like a song. The cows are wish-fulfilling. They're also Kamadhenu cows who can give unlimited milk. And Swarup Damodar went on to glorify Vrindavan. And Mahaprabhu asked him more about the dealings between the gopis and Krishna. And Swarup Damodar spoke eloquently about this at length. And anyway, finally, Shrivas Thakur had wanted to hear these glories. So he became overjoyed and began slapping his arms in joy and said, wonderful, wonderful. So I've described it only in brief. But do read the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Mathya Leela, for a very detailed description. It's a wonderful festival that takes place. The Hera Panchami festival, that's also today. So it's quite late. We'll stop here. But just one announcement on behalf of the temple. As you know, this being the 40th anniversary, a very special book of offerings to Srila Prabhupada is being worked on. And all the devotees are requested to please take this very seriously and write an offering to Srila Prabhupada. Practically every devotee who is associated with the manor should write this offering to Srila Prabhupada, and then a book will be compiled. And I believe a special session is being organized on the 27th of July at 10 a.m. and it will go on for 2.5 hours. This workshop will be conducted by Kripamoya Prabhu, Rupa Vilas Prabhu, and Shruti Dharma Prabhu, in which the devotees will be taught rather how to write offerings. So it will be a wonderful opportunity to glorify Srila Prabhupada on the 40th anniversary of the manor, or rather Gokulan at the temple. So please do take it very seriously. Do attend this workshop and do write an offering for Srila Prabhupada, every single devotee. Not necessarily only from a family one, you could all write individually as well. Even the children could write, everybody can write. So please keep this in mind. And 27th July, 10 o'clock in the morning. Okay, so we'll stop here. It's 9 o'clock. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.